We'll hit the trail tonight with Hopalong Cassidy during Old Time Radio Drama, and that's just the beginning. I'm Norman Gilliland. We'll also be hearing from Duffy's Tavern, Murder International, with a story by master short storyteller Guy de Maupassant. We'll have Campbell Playhouse with talk about masterly storytelling, The Count of Monte Cristo, starring who else but Orson Welles, also in the cast Agnes Moorehead. And at about 10:30, it's The Inner Sanctum. Tonight, some miners think that a squatter has robbed the stagecoach of their payroll, and they decide to go after him. And Hoppy has a guest at the Bar XX, the Bar 20, that would be, one who claims to be a friend of a friend. It all is a mystery to be unraveled in Stagecoach Trail, Hopalong Cassidy, from September 30th, 1950.
It's Hopalong Cassidy! With action and suspense out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd.
Our story tonight,
Stagecoach Trail. In these early days of the West, the common way to travel is by stagecoach. It's generally a long, hot trip with no excitement, unless a hold-up man decides to stop the stage and liven things up by robbing the strong box and the passengers. Well, in our story today, driver Corrigan of the Ridge City-bound stage has just looked down the barrel of a six-gun as the stage was relieved of the mine payroll. When the gunman departed, Corrigan whipped up his horses and raced the remaining 2 miles into Ridge City.
Oh! Oh, you critters! Well, get the sheriff quick. The stage has been held up.
Where?
About a mile back. Took the whole darn payroll.
How many of them?
Just one of them.
You mean he took the mine payroll?
Every red cent of it, the varmint.
Corrigan, what's happened?
Held up. Got held up. Umbre with a handkerchief over his face and a black hat.
Horse?
Didn't see none. Only thing I noticed was that gun barrel. Looked like a stovepipe to me.
Got an idea how he looked?
Well, he's about your size, Bert. Black hat, and I noticed when he turned sideways, had red hair hanging out from under his hat.
Redhead, eh?
Yeah.
Hear that, fella?
Hear that nest of Pritchard.
Out near the bar 20.
I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah, well, let's go get him, huh?
Yeah, before he mooses with the payroll.
He's got a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, how about the sheriff?
We don't need the sheriff. It's our money, ain't it?
Well, that's right.
Seems like you're all beset and pinning it on the nester.
What do you mean by that, Corrigan?
Well, lots of fellas his size and your size.
We're wasting time, boy.
Oh, come on.
You're right. We'll be heading for the open spaces if we blab around here.
Well, we got the law here, Bert. Government will send a man.
I ain't asking the law to collect my pay. I can do it myself. Come on, boys. We'll clean out this nest and spread once and for all.
All right.
Gunsmoke rides the stagecoach trail. The stagecoach running into Ridge City has been held up by a lone gunman, and the payroll for the mines, about $20,000, was taken. When the driver reported the holdup, the miners decided from the description that the gunman is a red-headed nester by the name of Pritchard. Tempers flare, and the miners, led by Bert Neal, ride to the nester's ranch house. Hopalong Cassidy, unaware of what's happening at the neighboring ranch, is on the porch of the Bar 20 talking with a gentleman.
So I told Judge Dawes I'd convey his greetings to you, Mr. Cassidy. That I have done. And I would appreciate your being my guest for dinner soon at my hotel.
Hotel? But Mr. Butterfield, no friend of Judge Dawes, stays at a hotel when they're this close to the Bar 20.
The judge told me you would say exactly that, Mr. Cassidy. But I'm used to being alone.
You can be to yourself here, sir. And you'd like it a lot better than the Ridge Hotel. Nobody to bother you, lots of sun.
I'm afraid you make it impossible for me to do other than accept your hospitality, Mr. Cassidy.
That's good. California will be back from town any minute now.
Professional man leads a stilted life. Very stilted, sir.
We don't ask a man his business around here, Mr. Butterfield, but I take it you're a lawyer.
For 15 years, I had my own office. Buried my nose in law books, working day and night to build a future. Only to have it crushed about my ears.
Mining?
No, it was a young woman. I'd hoped would be Mrs. Butterfield. Ah, but come, let's not be morbid. That's the past. I'm living now for the future, Mr. Cassidy.
That's the way to look at it. A month or so here in the sun, good food and friends, and you'll be a new man, Mr. Butterfield.
If you're sure that I won't be...
Let's not say another word.
I've left my bag at the hotel.
California can get it for you later this evening.
You're very kind.
Ah, here comes California now.
My, what a remarkable horseman.
Something's wrong, or he wouldn't be riding that way.
Hoppy! Hoppy, the stage has been held up!
Well, don't lose your breath.
The fella with red hair took the whole darn payroll, every cent of it.
Oh, back up just a minute. Where's your manners, California? We have company.
You know, they're saying Red Pritchard, the Nestor's the varmint.
California.
Excuse me, Hoppy. Darn it.
Meet Mr. Butterfield, friend of Judge Dawes up in Crescent.
Howdy. Bert Neal's heading a bunch of miners and Randy's out to Pritchard's place.
What for?
Smoke him out. Looks like trouble.
Where's your law?
He's out of town.
Mob rule is bad rule, Mr. Cassidy.
I know Red Pritchard. He's a Nestor, but not a bandit. You make yourself at home, Mr. Butterfield. This goes too far. It may be plain murder. We're not too late.
No, maybe not. Maybe Red's holding them off.
Come on, we gotta stop this.
Don't look like he's scared, Bert.
I'll smoke him out with this six gunner. My name ain't Bert Neal.
Sure would be bad if he weren't the hombre.
Then why don't he come out and say so?
Looks like he's waiting for our next move.
What's going on here, Bert?
The boys want to burn Pritchard out.
I knew this Nestor was no good.
No man's got a right to do his own lawmaking.
He took the whole payroll from the stage, my money and everybody else's. We got a right to get it back.
Were you on the stage?
Well, no.
Did you see the holdup?
Now, look, Cassidy.
But you're sure Red Pritchard's the bandit?
The boys think so. He's got red hair, headed this way.
Better call him off, Bert.
So, you're siding with the Nestor?
I'm saving you a lot of trouble.
Mighty nice of you. But you or nobody else is going to back this Nestor.
That's where you're wrong, Bert.
If he's so all-fired innocent, why don't he come out?
And run into a bullet?
Put up them six guns and he'll come out.
I'll give my word he will, Bert.
Well, all right, Cassidy. We'll try it your way. And if it don't pan out, we're doing it our own way.
What's your life?
Then, just a minute.
Yeah, well, all right.
I'm going in and bring Red Pritchard out. I don't want any gunplay.
Bring him, Bert.
Yeah, come on, get him out.
And, Bert, if any harm comes to Hoppy, I'm up putting daylight through you.
There won't be no trouble unless Red starts it.
There won't be any trouble. Any that I can't handle. Just don't get careless with that six-shooter, Bert.
I'm a-watching that, Hoppy. Of course, maybe it'd be better if I kind of sided you to the porch.
Now, you stay here, California. This is a job for one man. Richard? Cassidy. Hop along, Cassidy. I'm not here to make trouble. I'm here to settle this trouble without gunfire.
Mr. Cassidy, they're going to kill Paul.
Now, Mary Lou, calm down a bit.
They'll kill me. They hate it.
Oh, now, let's settle down. Nobody's going to kill anybody.
Close the door. They'll get me.
They don't want you, Mary Lou. They want to talk to your pa. Where is he?
I won't tell you. They'll never find him.
And there's no way I can help him.
He heard that they was riding out after him. Oh, but he didn't feel nothing, Mr. Cassidy. Pa wouldn't do nothing like that.
It doesn't matter what I think, nor you, Mary Lou. Unless your pa talks to them, no telling what'll happen.
They'll gun Pa down.
Then tell me where he is, and I'll promise they'll see him alone.
Ain't nobody I'd tell, Mr. Cassidy. Unless it was you. You've been good to Pa.
Then quickly, Mary Lou, where is he?
Back up in the draw. In the old mine shaft.
Thanks. Now, don't worry anymore.
Oh, Mr. Cassidy.
Cassidy's coming back down the trail. There ain't nobody with him.
Now, we've been tricked. He
help Pritchard get away.
Keep your hand away from that six-gun, Curly.
Why, you saddle-stooped old...
Hold on, Curly. You go get the trigger happy and we'll all be hanged, Newsbound. A man ain't guilty till the judge and jury says he is.
A Nestor ain't a man.
Where's Red?
Shut up, Curly. I'll do the blabbering.
Bert, Red's gone.
See, like I told you, we've been tricked.
I told you if he was in the house, I'd bring him out.
Cassidy, somebody's in that house.
Red's daughter. Scared.
Daughter? That's how we could find Red. We can get the daughter and
hold... Anyone bothers that girl answers to me.
Hold your tongue, Curly. We ain't aiming to harm no woman. We just want our pay money.
And we aim to get it.
Stand back where you are, Curly. Hoppy's hearing is good.
Bert, send these men home. The sheriff wants to deputize you men, then it's legal. But this way'll get nothing but trouble.
Well, maybe you're right, Cassidy.
You ain't stopping us. If he ain't here, we'll ride till we find him.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, we'll smoke out the next time.
Hoppy, I'm so hungry I could eat a three-day-old flapjack.
I know. I haven't thought much about food, California.
Well, now, there ain't nothing more you can do until later, Hoppy. Just stop worrying.
And all those folks at the mine with no pay and Red Pritchard up in that draw someplace, hiding like a hunted animal.
Well, yeah. Hoppy, look, over yonder.
What?
Sound asleep in the hammock. Mr. Butterball.
Butterfield, California.
Oh, yeah, Butterfield. Oh, poor feller. He'd have had more company at the hotel.
Well, well, I've been waiting for you.
Sorry, Mr. Butterfield. You'll have to excuse us for being late.
Ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. I've been having the time of my life. I hope you won't mind my trying my hand at cooking.
Food?
Yes, I took the liberty of preparing a meal when it got late, and I...
Good. You have no idea how good this is going
to
taste.
It wasn't much to get, Mr. Buttercup, but...
Butterfield, California.
How droll. Judge Dawes knew what he was about when he advised my looking you up. I'm warning you. I'm not too much of a...
The first time I had enough to eat for a week.
California. Your mouthful.
I know. I filled it.
I didn't do so badly for a bachelor, huh?
If you ever decide to cook for a career, let us know.
Well, Hoppy, better be riding back in the draw. Got lots to do yet tonight.
Must you go again?
Won't be long. Maybe you can find a book or something.
Ooh, now, don't concern yourself with my welfare. I'll find lots to do to keep busy.
We'll go in town tomorrow and make up for this, Mr. Butterfield.
Oh, tish tosh. But isn't riding at night dangerous back in the draw? Horse might stumble, you know?
Well, we just ride to the peak and then foot it down to the shed.
You know where everything is, Mr. Butterfield. If we're late, just get a good night's sleep. No telling what time we'll get back.
Good evening, Curly, my boy. I have news of great importance for you.
Cut out that fancy palaver, Jenks.
If you ever mention Jenks again, you swine, I'll slit your throat.
Well, now, I didn't mean no harm.
We've got to work fast. Cassidy and that stupid cowpoke, California, are meeting this Nestor.
When?
Right now. You know where the draw is?
Sure do.
Mine shaft near it?
No, right where it is.
Did you plant the paper bands off that money?
Out near the Nestor's fence.
Good. We've got to beat Cassidy to the shaft and keep that Nestor out of sight until we make one more stage grab.
How about Cassidy? He's a tough hombre.
Dead men aren't tough men.
You mean...
You see this little .45 bullet? All polished up?
I see it. What's it for?
When you bid farewell to your host, you always leave him a little gift of appreciation. I'm leaving this. Right in his back.
A holdup has occurred in Ridge City, and the stage robbed of the $20,000 mine payroll. Some hot-blooded miners accuse the Nestor, Red Pritchard, of being the gunman. Meantime, a cultured gentleman named Butterfield arrives at the Bar 20, saying that he is a great friend of Hoppy's pal, Judge Dawes. So, Hoppy has offered him the usual Cassidy hospitality. But now we learn that the visitor is a very much-wanted holdup man, and is working with the miner, Curly. They are edging their way toward the old mine shaft where the Nestor is hiding.
How'd you find out where the nest is hiding?
That overfed underbrain California let it drop.
Sure was a smart thing, you moving in there. And then telling you everything you want to know.
Yes, it takes real brains to keep the law off for 7 years.
No, no, take it easy. Right across the creek there.
Mm-hmm.
Up about 60 feet. An old mine shaft. Must be the one.
And we're here ahead of Cassidy.
Good. How are we going to get over there?
You fool, we don't go over there.
Huh?
Then we don't leave prints. I'm using this rifle. I practice by shooting hummingbirds at 1,000 feet.
Yeah, I've seen you do it.
Now stay behind this boulder. You can see when he moves around back in there. That opening behind him silhouettes him perfectly.
How long you staying around, Jenks? I mean, Butterfield.
One more payroll. Then back to Kansas City.
I gotta lay low for a while after you get...
You will.
Huh?
Wait. There he is. In that opening.
Can't hardly see back in there.
I see good enough.
You got him. He's down.
Of course. I never miss. Convenient, isn't it, to have that dead nest to take the blame for 2 holdups? I wish it weren't quite so simple. I'm getting a little bored.
Fellas like as not to break his neck if that moon weren't out.
Not much further now, California. The mine entrance is just around these rocks.
You know something, Hoppy? I don't think Red Pritchard had one darn thing to do with that stage order.
It's not for us to judge.
Oh, but gosh, 10,000. That'd buy a whole room full of meatballs with grain oozing out under the eaves.
Yeah. Careful now. We'll drop down the ledge.
Maybe we'd better let him know who we are. If he's scared, like as not, he'll be a-shooting.
That's a good idea. Better call in to him.
Red?
Come on in. All of you. I'll blast every last one of you. Come on.
Back, California.
Oh, step in, you yellow-livered coyotes. I've given you...
He's down, Hoppy. What's wrong with him?
It's Cassidy, Red.
He ain't moving.
Come on, California. He's hit.
He's breathing. Someone beat us here.
He looks like he caught it in the shoulder.
I'll tie up the wound, stop that bleeding.
Gotta get home, boys. Mary Lou's alone. Let me go.
Take it easy, Red. It's Cassidy.
Cassidy? And I was thinking you was my friend.
Oh, we are, Red. We just found you this way.
How do you feel, Red?
That shoulder's doing some throbbing.
He just got creased, Red.
You feel up to leaving here?
Where are you taking me?
The only place I know is safe for you is the Bar 20. You'd be mighty hard to take out of there.
It seems like we should let the sheriff know about Red. That we got him out here in our barn.
There's plenty of time for that. We want whoever winged Red to believe he's dead. Maybe he'll show his hand.
Oh, I see what you mean. I ain't saying a word to nobody about where he is. Even if they cut out my tongue.
I know that, California. I'm going to need all the help you can give me. Because I've got a feeling that something's going to happen. And right soon.
You know, I feel plumb ashamed treating Mr. Butterfield the way we've been doing.
Well, you got it right this time. We'll make it up once we get time.
Well, well, glad you're back. Won't you join me in a game of pinochle?
Sure like to, Mr. Butterfield, but I'd better get washed up a bit.
Your sleeve. Are you hurt, Mr. Cassidy?
Hurt?
Blood.
What happened?
Oh, I know. When we moved to Nestor, we got blood on us.
Great Scott, you mean something happened to the poor man? Is there no law, no protection?
He's all right now. Don't let it upset you, sir.
They ain't finding him where he is now.
I must say you're a friend in need, Mr. Cassidy. I know a little about treating a wound, you know.
No, he's resting very well. You're here to enjoy yourself.
Well, you know best, of course. I couldn't induce you to play a little pinochle in?
Oh, we don't play much cards. I'm a poor loser myself.
You're a poor loser. Ha, ha, ha. You're nothing like Judge Dawes. Well, I played pinochle all evening with him. Just $1 a game, and how he complained when he lost. Oh,
Mr. Butterfield, I hope you understand why we can't spend more time with you.
Perfectly, indeed I do. Well, I feel a little fresh air would do me a world of good. You like to join me, Mr. Cassidy?
Well, not right now. Maybe later.
Well, I won't be long. Don't worry about me at all. I'll be all right.
It's fixing to get dark. Don't get lost.
I won't go far.
Well, I'd better get cleaned up, California. I have some riding to do.
Hmm? Riding?
Yeah. Forgot to get a couple of things in town. Won't take me over an hour or two. You stay around and keep an eye on Red Pritchard.
Oh, shucks, Hoppy. We can't keep Red in the hay barn long with his shoulder like that.
I'll have a talk with the doc in town and be right back.
Oh, darn, you ain't gonna get much sleep, Hoppy.
I've got a feeling that you're not too far wrong, California.
Butterfield, what are you busting in my cabin for? What's wrong?
Plenty, Curly.
Cassidy catching on?
Not Cassidy, it's the Nestor.
The Nestor?
I missed my shot at him.
How do you know?
Cassidy and that cowpoke friend of his brought the Nestor to the ranch. Blood on both of them.
Maybe he's hit so bad he can't talk.
I don't think so.
Well, what are we going
to
do?
There's only one thing to do. Kill the Nestor before he talks.
It spoils our next grab with him being found.
There isn't going to be any next grab, Curly. Now, I may have to leave rather sudden, so get out that $10,000 and I'll take my half.
I'm leaving with you.
You're doing no such thing. You're still following orders.
But I ain't gonna. Butterfield, that six gun.
I say you're still following orders.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to ride in, round up those miners, get them in a hating mood, and bring them out to the bar 20.
And get the Nestor.
Get him if you have to burn the barn down.
Barn?
In the hay barn. I scouted the barn while taking a short walk for air. Thought I heard someone mooning.
You know what you're asking me to do, don't you?
What do you mean?
Cassidy's bad medicine. I ain't tangling with him.
You don't have to. I'll be there. Incite the miners to rush the barn.
And then?
Take the Nestor out legal-like. Start for town with him, fair trial and all that.
But he'll swear he didn't do it.
Certainly. The answer to it is this. He's not going to get to town.
Bushwhack him?
How crude. Of course not. He tried to escape and the boys had to shoot. Simple.
I'm darn glad you're on my side, Butterfield.
Now let's split the money, then get to town and stir up the miners and ride for that Nestor.
Feeling better, Red?
I sure do. Nice of Doc to come clear out here just for me.
Oh, shucks. Doctors don't ask who's sick or hurt.
Isn't there any way I can take my father home, Mr. Cassidy?
Not yet, Mary. It isn't safe.
Darned if I wouldn't like to get that gunsel in my sight. I'm making Red suffer like this.
I don't think Red will have to stand it much longer.
Did you hear that, Daddy? Oh, how wonderful to be like we was. I can't stand it. You're being hunted like an animal.
Well, he's safe for the time being.
Poppy, I hear riders.
I know. I expected it.
Hmm? You expected it?
My gun, Hopalong. I can still shoot.
Stay where you are, Red. Don't come out. Mary, you stay here, too.
Oh, Daddy.
We have to leave here, but stay where you are. Come on, California. Now, we'll take our stand in front of this door, California. It's two against that mob. But you know what it'll mean if they take Red Pritchard.
Now back to Hopalong Cassidy.
Hey, Cassidy, we come to get the fellow who robbed us of our payroll.
Meaning who?
Meaning the Nestor, Red Pritchard. We know he's here.
Yeah, we know he's here.
How do you know he's here?
Keeping talking ain't going to stop us, Cassidy. Now move aside. We're going in.
Come ahead, Curly. You boys heard Curly say he's going in?
And we say he ain't.
Make your move, Curly.
Well, are we going to wait all night, boys? Let's get on with the work.
Maybe you're wrong, Curly. Maybe the Nestor ain't.
He's in that barn, and he's coming out if we have to burn it down. We want him that robbed us.
I don't blame you for that, Curly. And I'm going to give him to you.
Oh, what's that, Hoppy? Are you loco?
I mean just what I said.
Well, I don't understand.
Then hand him over, and let's get him in jail.
Ready for anything now, California.
Great Scott, Mr. Cassidy. What's the row?
The boys want the holdup artist.
And in heaven's name, why don't you give him to them?
I'm going to do just that, Jenks.
What, Hoppy?
All right, stay back, Curly. Something's funny here.
Shooting a man in cold blood, Cassidy.
Jenks is all right. He'll have a sore hand for a while.
But, Hoppy, doggone it, I don't...
There's your stage robber, boys. Take him in. I got plenty of proof.
They're taking you too, Curly. I'll not go alone.
Oh, get him, boys. Stop Curly. He's in on this boat. I'll make care of him.
I'll remember this and
Someday I'll even the score. We'll meet again.
You can drop the dramatics, Butterfield. The only thing you'll meet is a hang noose.
That's right. Come on, Butterfield. And no funny shit.
All right, I'll go, but don't worry. I'll get in.
Well, now, don't just sit there grinning like a Cheshire cat, Hoppy. You know darn well you got some explaining to do.
Yeah, I guess I have, California. It was the telegram.
Hmm? What telegram?
I sent a telegram to Judge Dawes when I went in for the doc.
I thought you was gone a long time just to get Doc.
Judge Dawes said he never heard of Butterfield, but to check and see if my description didn't fit a fellow by the name of Jenks.
Well, I know, Hoppy, but how did you know to send a telegram to Judge Dawes? Darned if I suspicioned anything wrong.
Well, you see, California, Butterfield slipped when he mentioned Pinochle. The judge hates cards like a rattlesnake. Never played a hand in his life.
Stagecoach Trail, Hopalong Cassidy, from September 30th, 1950. Stay right there. We'll be dropping in on Duffy's Tavern right after this as old-time radio drama continues on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tonight, music great Deems Taylor is a guest at Duffy's Tavern, of whom it is said, by none other, of course, than Archie, he's got no talent of his own. He just talks about other guys at the Philharmonica. That kind of summarizes the mood in this outing called Archie's Opera, Duffy's Tavern, from September 28, 1945.
We take you now to Duffy's Tavern.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern, where do you late meet to eat Archie the man? Just speaking, Duffy ain't here. Oh, hello, Duffy. Tonight, Deems Taylor. Deems. Like in Deems, Dem, and Doe's. Well, look, Duffy, the guy is a big shot in music, you know, an expert on operas, philharmonicas, you know, intermezzos, concertos, symphonies, things. Huh? No, I can't ask a guy like that to fix the jukebox. Deems Taylor fix the jukebox. Can you imagine what he charged? Now, this is an important guy, Duffy. Deems is to American music what au gratin is to cheese. Certainly. Well, I'm going to let him listen to an opera which I have just wrote. Well, after the way Hollywood gave me Picture to Cold Shoulder, I figured that a successful opera will help me save face. If it's the same face I used in the picture, why do I want to save it? Look, Duffy, please, I better hang up before I am forced to irk you. Now, leave us see how this opera sounds. It opens, the Duke has lost his entire fortune. He's sick with fever and malaria as he comes home from his mother's funeral. He walks into the house and he finds his wife in the arms of his best friend. So turning to the audience, he stabs himself with his dagger as he sings, "Oh, what a beautiful morning." Well, now that part's okay. Eddie, that's the second stack of dishes you dropped today. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. I guess I must have lower plate wobble. But I'm sorry, Mr. Archer.
The government spends $2 billion to split the atom. All they had to do was to bring it to you. Now, cut out the noise. I'm busy here.
Ain't you through with that opera yet?
Well, no, not quite. I'm working on a score.
Who's ahead, you or the opera?
Okay, scoff me, knave. I fire upon you.
Hey, well, what's this with this opera stuff anyway? Is your Hollywood career finished?
Well, no, they're still annoying me.
Annoying you? Well, you call them up and they ain't in. You write them letters, they don't answer.
Well, wouldn't that annoy you? this opera will change all of that. You see, Eddie, you're going to have a background before they respect you in Hollywood.
Mm, background, huh?
Well, sure. Like Esther Williams used to be a swimmer, you know. Frederick Murray was a saxophone player. Lawrence Smokey was an opera star. Lionel Barrymore.
What about him?
Well, he was an actor before he became a doctor.
And one you forgot.
Who?
Lassie.
What was she?
She started as a dog.
See what I mean? Of course, I didn't have that kind of a background.
Oh, no?
No, I was great in a picture, but in order to be a success in Hollywood, you've got to do something besides that.
Well, according to the critics, that's just what you did.
Thanks, Eddie. So that's what I say. I think this opera will do great things for me.
How?
Well, look, if Seems Taylor likes it, and I think he will, and if he sponsors it, as I think he's bound to, and if the public goes for it, as I think they should, and if the critics like it... And
then what?
I don't know. Where was I?
I don't know where you were. At them altitudes, my radar stopped working.
Eddie, I can see you're like all of the rest. Nobody understands me. I don't think there are 5 men in the world that understand me, living or dead. Oh, hello, Finnegan. Hey, what's with you? You look very dapper tonight.
Oh, thank you, Arch. I guess it's this hand-painted tie. It's pretty, Arch, isn't it?
Well, it looks kind of fuzzy.
Hmm. Maybe I should have shaved my chest before I painted it on. What are you writing there, Arch?
An opera, and if you don't mind, I'm trying to concentrate.
Well, if you're writing it, Arch, don't worry about it.
Well, thank you, Clifton.
Everything you write has a stamp of your personality on it.
Thank you.
Your work is always so, what's your word?
Individual?
No.
Unique?
No.
Clever?
No.
Finnegan, your vocabulary is pretty lousy.
That's the word, lousy. Say, look, Arch, who's going to sing in this opera?
Who's going to sing? Well, certainly not you with that voice of yours.
Just a second, Arch. I bet you if I took the trouble, I could be a very good soprano.
A soprano yet?
Yeah.
Finnegan, in order to sing soprano, you've got to be a dame.
Oh, then it wouldn't be worth it.
You a singer.
Do you want to hear me sing up the scale?
Perish forbid.
Well, listen. Listen. Don't let me fuss all I see, though.
That was up the scale. Leave us hear you sing down the scale.
Don't let me fuss all I see, though.
Well, your voice ain't bad, but you got a horrible sense of direction. Where did you ever learn to sing, anyway?
From listening to the birds.
To the birds?
Why, certainly. Birds can sing better than anybody.
What are you talking? People can sing rings around the birds anytime. Take that Lily Punch. She can hit an F above a high C.
While balancing herself on a telephone wire?
Finnegan, please, leave us not discuss your singing no further.
Hello, Archie.
Oh, hello, Miss Duffy.
Say, Miss Duffy, I seen you last night with that poet Falstaff Openshaw at the hot dog stand.
At a hot dog stand?
Yes, that's the beauty of Falstaff. The poet in him loves those little sidewalk cafes.
And a cheapskate in him don't object neither.
You're wrong, Archie. Falstaff isn't like that at all. He's like all poets. He never thinks about money. Never once has he said to me, Miss Duffy, how much did that meal cost you?
Oh, boy. You should have seen them eating together, Rod. You know, they're really in love.
Oh, Finnegan. Oh, don't be silly. We were just having a hot dog.
So look, Miss Duffy, I've been around. Don't tell me. You know, I know when a fella and a girl take the hot dog out of the roll, put the two ends in their mouths, and work towards the middle, that's love.
I didn't know about this, Miss Duffy. Are you really serious about this, Falstaff?
Well, yes, I am, Archie. As a matter of fact, we're going to announce our engagement just as soon as Falstaff asks Papa for his consent.
Well, why don't he ask him?
Papa won't let him in the house.
Well, look, Miss Duffy, I would like to spend more time discussing your maritime relations, but... I gotta get this opera ready so we can sing it for Dame Sailor.
Oh, an opera here tonight? Oh, well, I better go gargle my throat.
Miss Duffy, you're not gonna sing here tonight. You and your off-coloratura.
Archie, whose father is both here and can have who fired?
Who said you couldn't sing here tonight? Okay, gargle yourself up.
Thank you.
What a voice. Eddie, nail down them pig's feet. There's a hard collar loose in them. Oh, brother, am I lucky that this opera of mine is singer-proof.
Blow the bugle, toot the trumpet. Here is Falstaff. Where shall I dump it?
Falstaff, where do you get them poems? Does Miss Duffy inspire them, pray chance?
Oh, no, Archie. I am a true poet. And the true poet is inspired only by suffering. Yes, I guess Miss Duffy does inspire.
Has she inspired any new ones lately?
Oh, indubitably. Have you heard, "Stop flirting with the optometrist, mother. You're making a spectacle of yourself"?
No, I ain't heard that one.
Or, "The police closed father's barbershop when they heard he was handling hot towels."
Very quaint. Falstaff, why don't you think up a title for my opera?
An opera? Tis done, old boy. I shall go woo the muse.
Oh, she's right over there by the cash register. Don't let her take your mind off of that title.
Thank you.
Archie?
Oh, yes, Falstaff.
I think I have just been struck by the muse.
Well, it's your own fault. With a dame like Miss Duffy, you got to work a little slow.
No. No, old boy, what I mean is I think I have a title for your opera.
Title for the opera? Let's hear it, sir.
Death in the Delicatessen, or Salami, Where She Hung.
Well, it's very unusual.
Oh, yes, yes.
But maybe we better try for something a little more mosaic. Shall we?
Hey, Miss Archie.
Yes, Eddie.
Ain't that Dean's tailor coming in the door?
Where? Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at the guy, Eddie. Such culture, such refinement. Notice the graceful way he steps over Moriarty. Well, Dame Taylor. Well, deems and behooving myself to bid homage to a man of your ilk and crudeness, I feel ashamed of my lack of verbosity.
Archie, it went that away.
What?
The English language.
Ah, the same old deems. You ain't changed one iota. Tell me, what brings you down here tonight, Deems?
Oh, I don't know. I guess just lack of willpower.
Deems, that could be an insult.
It is.
Oh, well, I was just checking.
Oh.
you don't mind?
No.
Oh, well. How's things?
Pretty good.
That's good. Read any good operas lately?
Well, frankly, no, I haven't.
Oh, huh? Yeah. No. Been to any movies lately? Say, like at the Paramount?
Oh, that's right, Archie. You did make a picture, didn't you?
Did I make a picture? It's just been busting box offices all over the country.
Well, that's simply wonderful. Who was in the picture with you?
Oh, I had a little support. Betty Hutton, Paulette Goddard, Alan Ladd, Bing Crosby, guys like that. But enough of me, Deems. What have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing some commentaries on the symphonies with a little support from Stokowski and Damrosch and Toscanini, guys like that.
Well, you got to have a little help.
By the way, I haven't seen your picture yet. Tell me, Archie, how was your performance?
Well, frankly, Deems, some of the critics didn't like me. But on the other hand, a lot of them didn't mention me. The New York Times, for example, ignored me.
Oh, well, you know the motto of the Times, all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah.
Tell me, Archie, what did you think of Hollywood?
Oh, come see, come see, you know, gorgeous limousines, sumptuous parties, swimming pools, diamond terraras, beautiful dames, you know, and yet not entirely without glamour.
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Well, Deems, this is strictly entre vous, you know, but the warmth of me reception was somewhat chilly. They wasn't too kind to me.
Jealousy?
What else? And, of course, to that movie gang, I was just a guy from a tavern making 15 bucks a week.
And that didn't impress them?
No, their standards are different out there. You know, to you and to me, 15 bucks is a lot of dough.
Oh, yes.
But in Hollywood, you can't swing a cat without hitting five guys that make that much. Gets a little discouraging.
All right. Well, Deems Taylor, as I live and breathe.
My goodness, you do, don't you? Simultaneously, too. By the way, let's see, you're Finnegan, aren't you, young man?
Young man? Deems, you not only know who he is, but what?
Say, Mr. Taylor, why do I always get you confused with Spike Jones?
Because you're a jerk.
Oh, that's it. I couldn't quite put my finger on it.
Archie, you're much too intolerant. Finnegan ought to be treated with understanding and patience. Finnegan, my boy. You see, Spike Jones is an exponent of jazz and musical burlesque, while I, on the other hand, am, well, what they call a long hair.
A long hair? Oh, yeah? So what you do, leave it home?
Archie, what was that word you used a moment ago?
Jerk.
Thank you. Finnegan, you're a jerk. Beat it.
Good work, James. Now, look, I got a little surprise for you.
Uh-huh.
You see, most composers have been dead for 100 years, right?
Right.
James, do I look to you like I could be an opera composer?
You certainly do.
Thank you. Now, prepare yourself for a little shock, James. I have wrote an opera.
Et tu, Brute?
No. This one we're thinking of calling Salami, where she hung. And I think I can safely say, Deems, that it is the most beautiful opera that's come along since you yourself wrote that Peter Rabbitson.
What's the plot?
The plot? That's the beauty of it. You see, the curtain rises, and all of the characters are on the stage dead.
Why?
Why?
No.
Why not? You see, it's revolutionary.
Now, just a second, Archie. The characters are all dead in the first act?
Who said we open with a first act? You think I let myself be hogbound by tradition? This is a modern opera. You see, what I do is I put the second act after the third act and split the first act into intermissions that overlay the overture. But I see I'm confusing you.
Oh, me?
Look, Dame, instead of me telling you about it, why don't you take it over in the corner and read it over to yourself, just quietly?
Couldn't I scream just once?
If the mood seizes you, sure. Hey, Miss Duffy, Falstaff, come here.
Hey, Arch, what does Dame think of your opera?
I don't know yet, but I'll bet he falls in love with it.
Well, that's nice. I hope they'll be very happy together.
Finnegan, please. I am too busy to listen to these half-wittyisms. I got to get the cast together for this opera.
Say, Archie.
Yeah, Dame.
It says here in the on the opera, written by Archini. Is that you?
Yeah. I figured Archie was too plain for opera, so I decided to adopt a musical name. You know, a metronome. Well, Dame, tell me, what did you think of the opera as a whole?
That's exactly what I thought of it.
And you don't know the best part of it.
What?
Well, we're going to put it on here tonight, and we got a nice fat spot in it for you.
No, Archie, wait a minute. This is carrying it too far.
James, please, leave us be realistic. Here we are, you and me. Neither of us getting any younger, you know. I'm managing a broken-down tavern. You're the president of ASCAP. Ain't we got no ambition? Now, here's your part. Okay, gang, everybody ready? Okay, Maestro Melnick?
Yeah?
Overture, if you please. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to present a scene from a new opera wrote by my esteemed self. Now, this opera tells the story of an ancient and royal Italian family named the Pastos. And their enemies, the Antipastos. The part of Prince Cacciatore Pasto will be sung by Mr. James Taylor, our eminent contemporary and mezzo barracuda. Thank you. Now, the part of his sweetheart, Princess Vermicelli Antipasto, will be sung by that popular lyric falsetto, Miss Duffy, our popular cashier and girl after Men About Town. Thank you. Now, if you please, Maestro Melnick, we will commence with the libretto.
Oh, Cacciatore, how can I live without you?
Oh, Vermicelli, I'm so mad about you.
Oh, Moon.
Oh, June.
He's again.
Boy, is this man.
Mr. Taylor, please, tonight you are not a critic. You are merely a broken-down opera singer. Oh,
sorry.
Granted.
Oh, what a tragedy.
What hollow mockery.
Cry.
You'll laugh and I will cry.
Archie, This music?
Yeah.
It's La Donna Immobile.
Well, thanks, Deems, and it gets even more so. Maestro.
Oh, princess, the man coming through the forest.
It's my trusty service and old family container.
Oh, princess, whither art thou?
I wither here. Whither art thou? What hide you, hence?
I come tiding sad bearing. Tiding bad tearing. Kiddo, I have news for you. Princess, your father, the Baron Gorgonzola Antipasto, approaches forthwith. He has found out that you were in love with this son of a mortal enemy.
Oh, Mr. Terrible! Quickly, Cacciatore, quickly, we must flee!
Yes, Vermicelli, we must flee.
Flee, 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 flee!
Hello, Marguerite!
It is too late to flee, my love. Here is your father now. Here is your father now.
Here is your father now.
What are you doing with the son of the man I hate? Prince Cacciatore, whither is your father?
I wither right here, Antipasto. What's make out of it?
Please, no scene, Pop.
Watch, I hate you.
And I hate you.
Oh, I hate you.
And I hate you.
Do I hate you more than you hate me?
No, you don't.
Oh, yes, I do.
We hate each other with a love that's true.
Antipasto.
Yes, Pasto.
Did you bring your sword?
I did.
What fight?
Woods.
Then, sir, on guard.
Right, come
on. Oh, stop them, Cacciatore, before they thunder each other from limb to limb.
I cannot, Vermicelli, lest they will thunder me.
Then I will stop them, though it cost me my blood's life.
Dad, look! The princess has run betwixt them. She has just been stabbed. She's down. She's up. She's down. She's up.
You will please start the violin section. Thank you. Well, go on, Miss Duffy. That's your cue. Drop dead.
Ah!
Ah! E good gad, Antipasto. Tis the death rattle. I fear I have stabbed your daughter to the quick.
No, Pasto. You have stabbed your own daughter.
What? Yea, verily? What dialogue dost thou sayest, thou man?
Well, 'tis the truth I speak, Pasto. I am the old nurse, and when the prince and princess was mere babes in arms, I got them all mixed up one day.
You got them mixed up?
Yes, I mixed them up. I got them all mixed up. I couldn't tell them apart, for I'm singing the wrong tune, but I got
you
them
got
mixed
them
up.
All mixed up. Here's this. Thank you, Falstaff.
They mixed us up. Well, then, Vermicelli, I am you.
Yes, Cacciatore, and I am you.
Then he is she.
And she is he.
Oh, T for two and two for T. Oh, T.
Eddie. Please, don't massacre this noble music. Now, go ahead, Miss Duffy. Please, resume dying.
Oh, Cacciatore, I am dying. My tide is ebbing fast away.
Please, Princess. Do not leave me.
I'm sorry, my prince, but the time has come when I must die. Just find that formless soul lying in the sky.
Oh, princess, do not leave me like this. Oh, no, you can't die and leave the prince like this. Oh, no, no, no.
Yes, I must go.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes, I must go.
Oh, no, no, no.
Yes, I must go.
Oh, no, no, no.
And she ain't
There goes Dean.
He's had all he can stand, it seems. Come back, Dean.
No, Archie, I must leave me sick. But first I'd like to say that this here opera's
Dean!
Gentlemen, it's time to leave Duffy's Tavern for this evening, but let's meet here again at the same time next week.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Archie's Opera, with, you might call him guest target, Deems Taylor, an outing from Duffy's Tavern, September 28th, 1945. Next, it's Murder International, with The Hand, as old-time radio drama continues on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.